Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this should be a sign for you, that you will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Wait a minute. That's not what John was writing, was it? I get carried away with this Christmas stuff, you know? But John is not describing the narrative story, the birth of this beautiful story we know. John is not writing about that birth of a child. He's writing about the birth of creation. He's writing about the birth of life. That's what John's doing. He's telling us what the whole world is looking for, what you and I are looking for. Now, what is that? No, it's not Santa Claus. It's not an elf on a shelf. It's not even the winning lottery numbers. It's not even love, even though we all need love, and that's part of it. What John is describing, what John is telling us that we're looking for, is much deeper, much more expansive. John is saying that we're all looking for life. Life. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. See, John begins at the beginning. He begins at creation. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Let me read that last sentence again, that last verse. And without him was not anything made that was made. Doesn't that sound confusing? I mean, it's like, come on, John, it's a little gobbledygook, it seems. You know, it's just, can't you get your words straight? Well, John, who's had more time to think about writing his gospel than the other three synoptics, he's very particular, he's very specific, and he's got his words just right, what he wants to say. But what he's basically telling us is that, in fact, life comes from life. Now, if I can, let me take a moment to explain that first little bit, that first verse, if I may, with you. You see, life gives rise to creation. One thing that God is life. God is not just alive, but he is life. He is a living person, not a human person, but a divine person. He's alive and he's doing something. He is always thinking and feeling throughout all eternity. Life gives rise to life. This is the difference between the atheistic worldview and the Christian worldview. Now, this is important for us to be able to know this, folks. We as Christians here have come to worship this morning. The difference between the atheist worldview and the Christian worldview. For the atheist worldview, everything comes, begins with an inanimate matter. It begins with energy. And what we know as life then evolved from that. Now, they don't know that. They just assume it. But the Christian worldview tells us that first there was a life, a divine life, God. First there was this life, and then there was physical matter and energy. God spoke it into being. Remember how he created? He created, let's see now, John and I went to seminary. John had to work hard to go to seminary. I had to work a little harder because I'm not quite as smart. But he created from nothing. He created from nothing. And so God spoke it into being. That's important. He didn't start with something because the only thing was God and his life. So he spoke it into being. He spoke all creation into being, and he spoke you and me into being. So that tells us that John begins with creation because he teaches us that life gives rise to life. And that's important, folks, because your origin is where you begin with everything. So, life. In him was life, and that life was the light of man. So that's what every human being is searching for in every moment of our lives, in everything that we do, everything, the decision we make, every thought we think. It's all about finding life. Sadly, we're like the old country song, looking for love in all the wrong places. We too quickly look for life in all the wrong ways. You see, too many of us are taught, basically by fallen human creation, that life means completion. It means success. That's what we're told to do. We have to have completion. So we begin to live by what I call the if-only way of living. The if-only way of living. The if-only I can graduate from college, then I'll be alive. I have a good life. Or if only I can get a great job. Or if only I can fall in love. If only I can get married. Or sadly, sometimes if only I can get divorced. Mm-hmm. Or if only I can have children. If only I can have children. Or if my children would just be successful and leave home. If only. Or for people like me, if only I can retire. You see, to live that if-only way of life is always waiting for something that doesn't come. When it comes, there's not always one more thing. So this is the only way of living, and it is spiritual death. Spiritual death. Wherever you turn on this planet and see a living person, you are seeing the image of the absolute reality that is the Word. You are seeing the ultimate reality, the Word who was with God and was life. There, you have never met an ordinary person. You've never met an ordinary person. They're all extraordinary. They're all amazing. And they're all dead. Spiritually dead. Spiritual death is what we're talking about. Spiritual life is what we're talking about. In him was life. The life that John has in view is new life, spiritual life, life-saving life, the gift of eternal life. It's the opposite of spiritual death now and final condemnation later. A little bit of scripture. Here's how John writes. 1 John chapter 5, he wrote this. God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. It's very specific, isn't it? Very specific. In him was life. So you have him, you have life. If you reject him, you reject life. John chapter 5, you refuse to come to me that you may have life. John chapter 10, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Or John chapter 10, 28, I give them eternal life and they will never perish. That's the kind of life he's talking about. That's the kind of life that the if-only system, the if-only desire of completion, completely kills. You see, because spiritual life is that when you say, wait a minute, I know and I trust. I have this, and it can never be taken away from me. So I think it's clear that what John is talking about is spiritual life, but it's being alive nonetheless. Now, here's the beautiful thing. That life is described as a new relationship. Now, let me tell you a story about my wife. She's a little worried right now. If I didn't talk about a relationship in a sermon, she would be disappointed. She would say, that's not my husband up there, you see? Because the answer to the question, the Sunday school question for me, is not Jesus, it's relationship. Because everything in Christ is a new relationship. Remember, we're in the middle of celebrating a family, a relationship. So this new life is described as a new relationship. Listen to the scripture. But to all who did receive him, who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Let me read it again. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Now, this is an important truth, and that is that not everyone is a child of God. Not everyone is a child of God. Everyone is created by God, but not everyone has been willing to say yes to receive that new spiritual life, and then therefore may call God Father. Not everyone is his child. They call him Abba, as we heard in the scripture. So those who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of the will of God, spiritual birth. So not everyone is a child of God. Not everyone has a spiritual life. And that is the light of men. That spiritual life is the light of men. Not everyone sees. Let me stop a second and tell you something. I know that you probably have a friend that doesn't understand your faith. Doesn't understand your faith, and you say, well, let me explain it to you. And you try, and you think, well, I can explain it to everybody. And he doesn't get it, or she doesn't get it. Well, the reason is this. It's not because you're not doing a good job of that. It's because they don't have that life, which is the light that through which they can see. So don't try to explain it to them. Just say, all you need is Jesus. Just Jesus. And tell them what Jesus means to you. Jesus is my Savior. Jesus is my friend. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Just tell them what Jesus means to you. Without Jesus, I can't breathe. And then maybe that life will come on in them, and the light will help them see. The important thing is this, that because of this, life is the desire that we have. It is the reason why we do everything that we do here at St. John's Parish Church. It's the reason you're here today. It's the reason I come. It's the reason we participate. That's why we take Holy Communion to the children at the Charleston Detention Center. We bring to them the life, the body and blood of Jesus, and we give it to those who need new life. We bring that life to them, hoping that it will stir in them that new life. That's our prayer. That's our hope for them. It's the foundation of every mission activity we have. Everything that you do, everything that we do to participate inside of our ministry and outside to the world is because of bringing that new life. And the life was the light of men. Of course, we worship, we read his word, we confess, we rejoice, we receive forgiveness, and we have new life. But we don't just have it for us, because we desire it for other people. We desire it for them. His life is the driving force behind our mission and our ministry. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Has the word become flesh in you? Has the word become new in your flesh? In your life. It's time to turn from the if-only way of living. It's time to turn away from the if-only, which is spiritual death, which will kill you spiritually. Time to turn from that, to stop thinking, if I can only do this, I'll have a great life. If I can only finish this, if I only have that, I'll have a great life. Isn't that what we all do? Dear God, deliver us. Deliver us from that and deliver us into Jesus. Invite Jesus into your heart today. Invite him into your heart today. And now with that, I say that because I know I'm preaching to the choir, okay? And I know many of you, most of you have done exactly that, okay? Well, when times become dry, when things seem difficult, give thanks that he's already there. That's where we turn. Give thanks that he's there. Even though you say, I don't feel you, I'm not sure about you, it doesn't seem that you're there, give thanks he's already there, because he is. And he comes alive again, not just he's already alive, but he comes alive again in you. Give thanks to the Father that Jesus Christ is alive. Brothers and sisters, that the word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth, and his life was the light of men, and that life is what we desire, what we share. And all God's people said, thanks be to God. Let's do that again. Will you do it with me? And all God's people said, thanks be to God. Amen.